What's that fight?
Yeah, let's go.
Ready? We'll end it on that.
We're talking about the Glimmer Man today.
The Glimmer Man. Welcome everybody to the S&P episode where we talk about Sloane Galtember. What is it called? What the
fuck? Schwartz Sloane Galtember.
Cannot let him do these anymore.
Episode 3.
Just for the record, Matt coined that.
Yeah, your eye is literally twitching. Your eye is literally twitching. I can see it. Your eye is like fucking showing.
He also picked every single movie we're watching for the next 2 months. You're cut off for the rest of the fucking year. Till August, the next year, you get no more
picks. Come up with your own shows then. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's Glimmer Man. It's Steven Seagal's week here in September. And
this is his week in September for Schwartz and Nagel.
Don't give it any more power.
Schwartz Lone Galtember. Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger. Stallone.
Are we doing Arnold next week?
No. What is next week?
Next week is The Expendables.
Yeah, all together.
Everybody, all of them.
Oh, God.
It's going to be awesome.
They haven't done that.
I'm actually looking forward to that
one. The Expendables is probably the best show we've seen.
Is Seagal even in that?
No. Over the Top was pretty good.
It was pretty good. I had a good time editing that.
So what are we watching this week? I don't know what we're doing.
It's The Glimmer Man, which is, by the way, the dumbest name for this freaking movie ever.
And also for a person.
It took me 45 minutes to even figure out what it was about.
What's even worse is the bad guy. And it's called The Family Man.
Because he murders families or something like that? Yeah. It's freaking weird, dude.
That's putting him up on like a cross.
It's like, let's have a Buddhist monk take down a Catholic murderer.
Yeah, let's do it.
He's not even a Buddhist monk, though. He's an ex-CIA assassin who just became
culturally appropriated Buddhism.
Yes.
Who has no qualms about just murdering everyone.
Yeah.
But he's against his religion. He's against fighting.
I can respect it.
The Buddhist? I like the whole Buddhist thing. Yeah. You know, I was told Jude this story earlier today. There was a time when I considered looking into it a little bit.
Looking into becoming a Buddhist?
Yeah, because I had a friend who was a complete asshole growing up when we were kids. And then we lost touch. And then like 5-6 years later, we met each other.
And he's like, namaste.
And he found Buddha. And he was a completely different person.
Whatever it takes, man.
I like the new dude. You know, it was really cool. So, you know, whatever.
Whatever it takes.
You know. If I'm going to find some bullshit religion, it might as well be one where I'm like, people kind of like to hang out with me, you know?
So, whatever. Got some dope weed.
We get some fucking beads.
Some deer penis.
And a cool Chinese shirt and some deer penis.
The deer penis jokes in this movie were terrible. It was hilarious how bad they were.
So this was the last movie that Steven Seagal made in Hollywood before he started doing like all the direct-to-video stuff. Because like this one did not succeed, but it was basically like a Lethal Weapon ripoff.
Instead of
Riggs being like a loose cannon, he's a Buddhist.
It's Lethal Weapon / Rush Hour.
Yeah.
Mixed together. Let's do the synopsis. Jude, take it away.
1986, The Glimmer Man. Rated R with... Rated R with a runtime of 1 hour, 31 minutes. This had a budget of $45 million. What do you think this brought into the box office?
$12, Bob. I think it made no money.
Man, you know, I remember no hype about this movie.
Zero.
I'm probably complete opposite and wrong, but I'm going to say it did not make its money back. I'm going to say $30 million, maybe.
All right. Had a budget of $45 million with a box office bring home of $20 million.
Yeah. I overshot it. Your $12 won the showcase.
Nice.
It's good. You ready for me to tell you what it's
so
about?
So ready. Go for it.
Detective Namaste just really loves solving cases. He's been solving cases for the NYPD, the CIA, and a bunch of other organizations you probably never heard of. He's the best at tracking down bad guys. But when it comes to fighting, good thing it's against his religion, because his slap fight style is deadly. With his new partner, Keenan Ivory Wayans, they're on the case of a serial killer who seems to be sending Detective Namaste a message. But the Family Man is no match for the Glimmer Man. Discuss.
Oh, Jesus.
So you guys whenever Steven Seagal is like slap fighting in this movie, it just reminded me of the film we made with Lynn Kabazinski.
Yes, yeah.
We're like, you guys were basically as good as Steven Seagal. Yeah,
yeah, we're just film. Slap fighting.
Come here, Stuart.
Just come here. Freaking ridiculous. He actually legitimately just slaps some dude in this movie, though. Like just what?
But like a Buddhist, so it's tougher.
Just, he's like...
Yeah, go ahead. Come on, we'll give you a table.
Oh, can we talk about this Blade credit card? Shit was fucking hilarious.
My God.
Oh, my God. But
before we get to that, so, like, the setup for that.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
Basically, him and Keenan Ivory Wayans, his partner.
Uh-huh. Is he related to the Wayans brother?
Yes. He's the oldest Wayans.
Is he
Wayans
really? Brother, my God. I thought it was a joke.
Oh.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. No.
They're driving by this garage, and Steven Seagal sees, like, a group of three men trying to break into a car. And he's like, hey, we're police officers. We should stop and keep these guys from stealing this car. And Keenan Ivory Wayans is like, we're homicide detectives. We don't do that shit.
Yeah.
But Steven Seagal's like, come on, like let's be good cops and stop this.
Come on, man. Let's be anti-crime.
Yeah. So they go, and there are these three Asian guys trying to break into this car. And at first, Keenan Ivory Wayans and Steven Seagal are like all tough because they got guns. But then it turns out that the Russian mob, who has been involved in this this case that they're working, laid this trap for them because somehow they knew that they were going to stop here.
Perfect.
And so, like, these Russian gangsters kind of come out, and they got the drop on, you know, Steven Seagal and Keenan Ivory Wayans, and they're like, "We're going to kill you now." And Steven Seagal's like, fighting's against my religion.
Yeah, I got some money here. You want money? I'll give you money. Let me reach back here and just grab my pocket.
You take credit card?
Take my wallet out. Now listen, I got cash or I got plastic. If you want...
So he pulls out a credit card that has a secret razor blade in it. He flips out the razor blade.
Slices three people's throats.
Instantly slices, even though it's against his religion. Yeah. And then he starts slap fighting all the others, and Keenan Ivory Wayans is just on the ground the entire time.
I'm like, oh my God.
It was terrible.
That was so goofy. But for some reason,
like, I kind of liked it.
I had a blast. Right? I had much fun.
It was so fun.
It was like...
This is one of those movies that I'm watching, and I'm like... And my brain's telling me... I'm supposed to hate this movie. But yeah, for some reason, I didn't quit. I didn't pause it once. I didn't even want to go to the bathroom.
Yeah,
I kept calling it and being like, I bet he says she is nice to you.
Wait. Like, guys, legit, we're sitting there watching this. Jude's never seen this movie before.
First watch.
And the entire time, she's just calling out every 90s action movie trope you can think of.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she'll literally say it, and then in the movie, they would say what she just said.
Yeah.
For instance, there's a scene in the morgue where they're looking at a Russian prostitute.
Uh-huh.
And this is a Russian prostitute that was dead. And Jude's like, oh, I bet they're going to say she has nice tits. Yeah. And then, like, Keenan Ivory Wayans, and the next sit, like, right after she says it, is like, she's got nice tits.
And then I go, I bet she has fake boobs, and they take him out to identify her. And he's like, I bet she has fake boobs. We should take him out to identify her. Yeah.
And Steven Seagal like cuts the boob open, takes out the breast implant, and is like track this serial number.
I mean, that's how I would do police.
But the scene where they go into the Asian kind of herbalist place. And he's like allergic to incense. Keenan Ivory Wayans' character.
Oh my God! Yeah.
And Steven Seagal's like, hey, put some of this under your tongue, and it'll clear you right up. And Jude's like, I bet it's some type of powdered penis.
100%.
It's powdered deer penis, bro. It'll do you right. And he's like, oh my God, that. And then he gets addicted to it.
Yeah.
He's like,
hey man, so you gotta do that powdered
penis. And then Steven Seagal's like, is that deer penis?
I mean, if you have an issue going on right now.
Oh, powdered deer penis fixed it?
Could you put some
it.
Powdered deer penis under your tongue?
1,000%.
Let's try it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If it worked?
Yeah.
A Chinese medicine is no joke.
I have a question for everybody, and I know it's not really for him, but for the three of us, was this a first watch?
Yeah.
Because it was for me.
Yeah.
What about you?
First watch.
Yeah.
All right. So we can actually put first
have
watch.
Have you seen it before?
I think I saw it in the theaters, but like I can't remember.
Of course you did.
So we can put first watch on the thumbnail and not feel guilty.
It was 1996, wasn't it? Was it 96?
96.
Yeah. This is what I loved about this movie was that it fit into every stereotype of a Steven Seagal movie like perfectly. It's like, oh, he's going to be a lazy slap fighter. Yup. Oh, he's going to have cheesy 90s one-liners
this
that don't make any sense.
This was an 80s movie set in 96. Yeah.
Was this the last of the 80s cop movies?
Well, this is what he said. It's like a 90s ripoff of Lethal Weapon.
Has there been one like this since? Because
the other guys?
It has all the tropes. It has all of the tropes of an 80s buddy cop movie. Yeah. You know, and I'm just...
The Nice Guys was a buddy cop comedy.
That's what I meant.
Bad Boys, maybe.
But Other Guys fits, too, because it's Will Ferrell and...
that's the one I meant.
But that's making fun.
That's making fun of these types of movies.
This is not a making fun of a movie. This is a movie that's taking itself way too seriously.
Seriously.
I don't think you can make this movie anymore without people being like, what are you doing?
Yeah, right?
It's hilarious.
I'm just trying to think of what other legit buddy cop movie came out after 1994. Is that correct? Is that about right?
This was 96.
This was 96. 96, even better. You know, it's weird.
So one of the funny things about this movie is Brian Cox plays the head CIA guy in this film.
Yeah.
And originally Tommy Lee Jones, who starred in Under Siege with Steven Seagal, which,
oh yeah,
by the way, guys, if you want to check out our Under Siege review, it's going to be in the pinned comment of this video. But Tommy Lee Jones was supposed to play the Brian Cox character. And the day they were set to start shooting, Tommy Lee Jones was like, fuck Steven Seagal, I'm out.
I think is how most people.
Fair.
Yeah. So yeah. Brian Cox was like a last minute replacement. And they were also trying to get a variety of kind of like upcoming like actors to play his partner. But they couldn't get any of them to want to work with Steven Seagal. And so Keenan Ivory Wayans kind of stepped in at the last minute as well and got cast in that role.
The ending of this movie is him telling him, don't freaking call me.
Yeah.
Don't ever talk to me again. Uh-huh. I don't want to see your ass.
That was real.
I think that was real. That was legit. Think he was just like, hey, Steven Seagal, I'm done.
Yeah.
This is the last scene of the movie.
I can check this off my bucket list of
I took
things
a pray
I've
check.
Done.
Don't call me, Jack. Don't leave me a message. Don't fax me. If I see a bird on my window with a message on his foot, I'm throwing him back out.
How much did he get paid for this movie? $12 million or something crazy?
Probably not. Keenan Ivory Wayans wasn't like a huge star ever. But the weird thing about this movie is Steven Seagal's off-screen behavior is kind of like legendary. And Keenan Ivory Wayans in an interview talked about how Steven Seagal was constantly late to the set. He would just show up whenever he felt like it. And there was one time they were waiting around for him for 8 hours. And he finally shows up on set and Keenan Ivory Wayans was like, bro, where were you all day? And Steven Seagal's like, oh, I'm sorry, I lost track of time. I was reading the best screenplay I've ever read in my entire life. And Keenan Ivory Wayans is like, it's the best screenplay you've ever read. And he's like, yeah, man, this thing, it's next level. And he's like, who wrote it? And he's like, well, I wrote it. So Steven Seagal was busy reading his own script and he couldn't be bothered to show up to set on time.
Oh, God, that's so frustrating.
I think Steven Seagal was just playing Steven Seagal. Yeah. I don't think that
he's not acting. No, he wasn't.
You've heard the story about him betting, I think it was Stallone, you can't choke me out. You've heard this, right? Were they at Van Damme's house and he bet Stallone, or were they at Stallone's house?
They were at Stallone's house.
And then he bet Van Damme. Or he bet someone.
Well, no. So there's two different stories here.
Yeah.
So I think the thing that you're thinking of didn't happen at the Stallone place.
Okay.
I think it was a separate thing.
But he bet someone, I bet you can't choke me out. And whoever it was, I want to say it was Stallone, but it might not be. Pop it in the comments. But the person did choke him out. He lost consciousness and then he immediately shat his pants.
Oh, nice.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think that was a stunt guy who talked about that. Or it might have been the guy that fought Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse. The guy who's
dude?
Yeah, I fuck guys like you in prison.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
I think that might have been the guy. But at Stallone's party, that's where his feud with Jean-Claude Van Damme started, where they were constantly threatening to fight each other and stuff. But
I watched that movie.
Yeah. So
not today.
Steven Seagal is well known for his bad behavior and just nobody liking him, essentially. But the thing about this movie that got me was just how convoluted the plot was.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Yeah.
It was They were trying too much.
It took me 45 minutes to like figure out what the plot actually was.
There was like,
and it's still kind of vague.
There was like four different layers of intrigue going on. There was the Russian mob that was controlled by the two like political leaders.
Yeah.
And the two political leaders were going up against each other and one wanted to kill the other. It was just too much.
And there was the serial killer who was sending a message to the Glimmer Man.
Yeah, but he wasn't the actual bad guy. It was really this other bad guy that killed his wife. Mm-hmm. It was nonsense.
The real Glimmer Man. Was the guy in the church, right?
No, the real family man.
Oh, the family man.
So let me lay this out for people who haven't seen the movie.
Please do. Yes.
So basically, it starts off as a pretty typical buddy cop movie where like this Buddhist Steven Seagal character gets teamed up with the by the book Keenan Ivory Wayne's character. And they're on the trail of a serial killer named the Family Man, who got that nickname because he goes after families. He basically kills them and crucifies them. And so they're trying to investigate this thing, and they start finding connections to the Russian mob. And then the Russian mob starts coming after these cops who are investigating the serial killer. But then they find the serial killer, and it turns out that the serial killer didn't do the last three murders that were attributed to him. And so like they're like, there's a copycat serial killer. And then they find out that that copycat serial killer is really involved with the CIA and the Russian mafia.
As you do.
And then it becomes like this weird like political thing where basically they're smuggling in some type of weapons using the CIA and the Russian mafia together in order to like do some type of black ops money exchange type thing. And at the end of the movie, basically they defeat the CIA, they defeat the Russian mafia, and they kill the copycat serial killer. And so like all this kind of like accumulates in like a big shootout, and Keenan Ivory Wayne's
slap fight.
Yeah, yeah. and Keenan Ivory Wayne's basically, there's a big scene in here where like he's in his apartment and the entire apartment catches fire and he jumps out. He jumps out like a three-story window.
Oh, and lands on a car.
And he's like totally fine. Okay. Yeah, he's totally fine.
Cool. I thought they were going to kill him, honestly.
It's just part of his morning workout.
Yeah. I was like, oh shit, they're actually going to do something in this movie.
I jump out of burning buildings like 47 times a year.
Oh man, I train people how to jump out of buildings.
Yeah, the car that he fell through broke his fall.
So he's fine.
The thing that gets me is like this movie starts off like the first time you see Steven Seagal in action, there's a hostage situation at a private school where some kid is suicidal and he's holding his class hostage with a gun. And Steven Seagal comes in and he's like, hey man, I'm going to try to save your life. You know, like, you know, just do what I say, like play it cool, man. And then he comes in and he points a gun at the kid. And he's like, I'm going to kill you if you don't drop that gun. and it's like they made it very clear that the kid's suicidal. Like he's about to like blow his own brains out. And Steven Seagal's threatening to kill him.
Yeah. But how he saves the day.
Oh, it's great.
Fantastic. He tackles him through a window out over a balcony.
It wasn't a balcony, then, it was an alleyway.
Alleyway. Out of a window, over an alleyway, into another window, and an adjacent building. Mm-hmm. And they make it through. And then he's like, you're a good kid. I got you.
Yeah, we're good.
And the kid's like, oh my God.
Thank you.
I want to
live. I was like, oh, dude. It's every Seagal trope that everybody makes fun of in this movie.
And they're all there.
Listen, man, I'm not going to lie. I had fun with this movie because it was so stupid. I just had a dumb grin on my face the whole time. Like, this is so dumb. I love it.
I think my favorite scene was the restaurant scene.
Yeah.
Where he's fighting all the mobs.
I love the fact that he picks up the phone.
It's peak slap fight.
It's amazing. It's just like, and then he just like throws somebody and he's like, and that's the whole fight scene is all that. And then it cuts to the guy sitting at the table just drinking and he's like, it was a good fight.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
And then
hello? We're going to be closed for,
looks around.
2 months.
No, that won't work. We're closed for renovation. I'd say 2 months.
Yeah. Oh, God, I loved it. I love it when he walks in and the concierge, he's got a fake French accent because it's a fancy restaurant.
No, it was an Italian accent. He was doing full Mario.
There is no way I could get you a table today. No, we're full up. You have to
watch. No, it's too sexy in here.
Too sexy in here. No. And then he's like, hold on, bro. I got something going on right now. No, I cannot give you a table, not at all. And then Seagal just picks up. He's like, you're totally fine. We can fit you in for a table of four right now. And then he hangs up. Yeah.
Pray to Buddha.
And then he destroys the whole restaurant, and the phone rings as he's walking out, and he's like, he just picks up, he's like, yeah, we're not gonna be able to fit you in for another
let me ask you, 4 months, and he hangs up and walks.
I'm like, this is glorious. Let me ask you, so this funny question.
You're a tough guy and you're gonna go like confront some asshole
yeah of course
in the Italian restaurant, right? So yeah. Are you gonna go? Are you gonna, when you're talking to him, are you gonna sit down and eat a cannoli? You gonna, yes. You gonna taste the cannoli?
Listen,
while you're
man,
in?
You gotta.
It's like,
gotta
I think I would. I think
leave
I, that
the
was,
gun.
That
take
was,
the cannoli.
That was yeah. My favorite thing in the whole world. It's like he like takes a cannoli, put a cannoli, puts it down, and then he takes the fucking napkin out of the rolled fucking basket.
Oh yes,
that's the basket yeah. With the rolls.
No respect for this
dude,
food.
I guarantee like, you that was awesome. Ad-libbed. I that guarantee was, you that was ad-libbed.
Best thing in the whole.
I was great. He said, "I love like, that scene." The table is set, right? The props department's like, "All right, we got some cannolis. It's an Italian restaurant."
The props department is like. Perfect.
Yeah.
Like, cannoli, like, he's fucking there. Napkin, roll.
Dude,
fucking
the way he takes the napkin out and he starts pulling it and then he realizes he can't get out without it. And he just goes, and he just throws the bread all over the place.
Yeah. No, the bread stayed in the bowl.
No, I don't think
no,
it did.
No, it did. It totally did. Yeah, it was like the whole.
Oh, God, he's a magician?
Yeah, it was great. I just, that was
hilarious.
That was some style right
I'm
there.
I'm so glad you
like,
reminded
oh,
me.
Oh, my God, that was awesome.
I love that scene.
And then he fucks up everybody.
Fucks everybody
with this
up.
Bullshit
slap fight.
It's like one of the guys in the watch party was like talking trash about that. Who's a martial artist?
Uh-huh.
It's like that is like the weakest type of martial arts.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing that's worse than that is like
the splits.
I forget what he said. I'm like, man, this stupid stuff. But it's just
the alcohol every it's time. Not the alcohol. Maybe it's
but it was like the second worst kind of martial arts.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody makes fun of it because it's basic. It's slap fighting.
It's slap fighting.
It's so silly.
Absolutely.
But
it was funny. Yeah. But that, I'm so glad you reminded me of that scene because I remember watching that going, this is amazing.
It was really funny.
He just like grabs the napkin out of the bread bowl and like wipes his face
with
it.
And I really
it.
Like how the bad dude, what's his name? The bad guy in the movie?
Oh,
the
I remember.
Family man.
You know what I,
wait,
which the bad guy?
No,
like
the guy, the mobster guy.
Oh, he's very famous,
shot.
Right?
Yeah. But he's just sitting there. It's like, yeah, you know, the way he was played off of him while Seagal was sitting there eating his fucking
oh,
cannoli.
No, that's Brian Cox. He's the head of the CIA.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I thought he was a mobster. No, how well they made this movie. It's like, I don't know which bad guy does what.
Mobster was the other dude.
So. The mobster was the stepfather of the kid who tried to kill himself.
Yeah, that's right. The Shawshank Redemption
guy. The guy from Demolition Man.
Shawshank Redemption and Demolition Man. Yeah.
I was like, wait a second. Isn't he from Demolition Man? Oh, he's the police chief.
Ooh, I saw that guy's doppelganger at Taco El Gordo the other day.
Did you go up to him and ask him for an autograph?
No, but I looked at him. I told Tom and I was like, hey, bro, look, it's Shawshank Redemption.
Wait, you and Tom are going to Tacos El Gordo?
Hell yeah.
Jesus.
Got to lunch all the time.
Tom loves Tacos El Gordo.
I know. He went to Mexico and he didn't have a single taco. And I was like, well, why don't we go tacos today? He's like, that sounds like a good idea.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah. My job is so cool.
I'm jealous that you get to spend all the time with my best friend.
It's just me convincing my boss to go get tacos with me.
Yeah.
Tacos.
Next time you can go to an Italian restaurant and just slap the shit out of it.
Have you gotten the Vampiros? With the cheese and shit?
No. I go down to this little taco joint over here by the podcast studio. Freaking legit.
Yeah,
They got dope churros, too.
So you know how, like, you know, there's that whole scene in the Italian restaurant. And it's very inconsistent because, like, Steven Seagal's character the entire time, he's like, you know, I'm Buddhist. Violence is against my religion. I don't kill anyone. Then he goes around just fighting and killing everyone. But Keenan Ivory Wayans' character, he's a fan of classic movies. And so, like, he goes to, like, a classic movie theater.
The black and white movie theater.
And Steven Seagal finds him there. He's like, man, what are you doing here? Like I just want to watch a movie.
Crying. He's like, man, I don't cry during movies.
Watching Casablanca.
Yeah. And then, like, he goes back to his, like, amazing L.A. apartment, which is, like, way better than any cop could probably afford down there, with his, like, huge basket of deer penis powder and stuff like that. And then, like, as like the guy tries to kill him, you know, because like the CIA assassin guy who's pretending to be the serial killer shows up, try to kill him.
Trashes his apartment.
Yeah, basically, like, everything catches on fire and they have like this big fight. And then he John Wicks it out the window to save his life at the last minute before it explodes.
Mm-hmm.
Because that one gas main, you know, from the stove that got ripped out.
Man. For like 30 seconds, filled the entire room with gas.
As it was already on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's almost as good as having Coke machines save you from an explosion.
Almost.
Almost as good. Almost.
What was the name of that movie?
Dangering a Tiger.
I don't know. It was Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Double team with
Dennis Rodman. Yeah. God, that was glorious.
You know what's funny is, like, during this time period, Steven Seagal was teaming up with, like, a lot of, like, black actors, like DMX for Exit Wounds and stuff like that.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. X gonna give it to you. That was good. We need to watch that movie.
was that the only movie that DMX ever
acted
in?
Cradle to the Grave, Cradle I think he was grave. In with
Why
Jet
do you Lee. Know all this?
Apparently, I'm a DMX fan.
Elon Musk.
Who knew?
Elon needs to like appropriate that song for
X gon' give it to you.
Well, that was the theme, dude. When he first renamed the Twitter app, that's people were dropping thing. It was funny.
Yeah, that meme of X or of DMX like in the music video where it's like X gon' give it to you.
Yeah. I like that song, dude. Yeah, right. I can listen to it right now.
It's a good song. R.I.P. DMX.
Yeah, R.I.P. Okay, what else can we talk about this movie? I'm just going to review it right now. I'll give you my general thoughts and my star. I had such a good time because it was so dumb, but it fit everything I expected out of a Seagal movie. Like, it was to a T. This is what you're going to get. You walk into a Seagal movie, these are the tropes.
Yep.
And it filled that gap, and I was like, yeah, this is great. I had a fun time. It's a terrible movie.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's dumb. It's badly written, badly acted, badly fight. Poorly fight choreographed?
Poorly fought.
Sure. It's bad all around. There's nothing good about it except for the fact that it fits the bill for what you expect with a Steven Seagal movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed myself to no end. I watched it and I was like, that was great. I'm going to give it 2.5 Steven Seagal slap fights.
Okay.
Right down the middle.
It was badly fighted.
Badly fought. Badly fight choreographed. I just had a good time. It's a bad movie. On a movie scale, it's like a 1. Yeah. Right? It's a 1-star crap fest.
Yeah, for sure.
But because it's so stupid, 2.5 stars.
Man, you totally stole my whole thing.
You can steal it. Take it away. With you right now. 2.75 stars. Who cares?
No,
the rules are made up and the points don't matter.
Give it 5 stars. Deal with me here.
Do it. Give it 5.
So like, everything you just said. Right?
Don't influence his vote.
It is a 1-star crap fest movie. It's fucking terrible.
It's terrible.
This movie is awful. You can't follow the plot. You have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, they have these random dude in a church that they blow away and
all
this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
None of it makes any sense. And definitely a 1-star crap fest, but I was like thoroughly entertained as well. I was going to go right down the middle, 2.5, you know, and then I was going to give it an extra 0.5 star for boobs, but they're dead boobs. They're corpse boobs, right? I'm like,
how many stars he gets for dead boobs?
I don't know.
That's like 4 more stars. That's his favorite kind of boob.
Oh, dead boobs and powdered penis. But
yeah, you corpse boobs. It's like, I don't know. It's like, it's kind of gross. It's like, but they were magnificent. They were really nice boobs. And also, the actress that played the corpse is still alive. So I'm gonna give it a quarter. I'm gonna go 2.75 stars for live boobs pretending they're fake. Pretending they're dead, but they're actually real. So 2.75 stars. There you go. Does that make sense?
No.
No? Zombie boobs?
Zombie boobs are a different thing.
Dead boobs, not undead boobs. That's different.
Well, okay.
Wow.
I don't know where to go.
I love it.
Because, you know, I'm like,
2.275.
Because I did my I perked up a little bit. Those are some boobs. Those are nice big boobs.
But they're dead.
It's like, wait, no, they're not. The actress was still alive. Somebody in the chat pointed out, no, the actress that's playing those are still alive. They're not really dead boobs. It's like,
in that case.
So wait.
I can still get harmed up by the corpse. Because the corpse isn't really a corpse. Like, that's kind of gross.
Do you think actual dead people are in movies?
No.
Do you remember that dude from Cabinet of Curiosities with David Hewlett who was just fucking hung?
Oh, yeah.
Sitting with in the morgue?
Fucking
8 inches soft.
Eight inches flaccid. Like, motherfucker. Like, no wonder he got
and
that.
And we asked Hewlett, we're like, bro, was he really that hung? And he was like, yeah, he was. Do you remember that? How the fuck did we get away with that shit?
I don't know. But yeah, 2.75.
Oh, shout out to David Hewlett.
Yeah.
That dude was a trooper.
You gonna show off your shirt?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hewlett gets me.
Yeah. We need to have him back on the show.
We do.
We haven't talked to him in a while.
It's been a minute. Yeah. I need to ask him a couple questions.
We need to have him in the studio.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Jude.
Yeah.
Final thoughts. Give it a rating.
I would like to say that, Alex, everything you said was correct.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Everything Vader said made me feel weird.
Think, are they dead? No. They're not really dead.
Technically not dead.
Oh, they're dead.
Will they perk up if you tweak them?
Stop.
It was really cold in that morning.
What is
really
with cold. Steven Seagal movies having weird boobs? Remember in the last Steven Seagal movie we did?
No areola.
There was no areola.
Yeah.
They were the same color.
Yeah. It was just like looking at someone's cheek.
Yeah.
Yeah. The girl in Under Siege.
She had like clear nipples.
Yeah. And then we had the Gary Busey fake boobs in that one.
Yeah. Wow. Is that a thing for Steven Seagal to have weird boobs?
And ponytails.
Well, that's Steven Seagal.
Whiskey Jackson Vader, no.
I had a great time.
You did, okay.
I had a great time watching this.
All right.
First time watch, and I wasn't excited to watch this. I wanted to watch like a really bad 80s one.
Okay.
I didn't know that this could exist.
Okay.
Like a really bad 90s version. I thought it was just going to be like just bad and not entertaining. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's so much fun. And it's exactly what I wanted to get out of a Steven Seagal movie. So for sure. I'm giving it 3 deer penises.
Nice. Okay.
3 deer pinai.
Pinai.
Pinai. Here comes Kanish with his 5 stars.
This movie is responsible for creating the Lord of the Rings. Peter Jackson watched this movie and then went and made Lord of the Rings. Yeah. And we're all like, oh shit.
Of course he did.
5 stars.
Yeah, you know that deer penis thing? That's where they got Second Breakfast from. It's like, okay, whatever. Shut the fuck up.
They actually got that from the Italian restaurant.
All right, Kanish, take it away.
Steven Seagal invented cannolis in this movie.
Oh, man.
All right, so what was interesting about this movie, like we talked about how convoluted the storyline is.
Sure.
So originally this movie was much longer and they had like a lot of like subplots. They had a lot more of like Keenan Ivory Wayans and Steven Seagal having humorous exchanges. They had a lot more with Steven Seagal's like wife in the movie. So like it was a much more fleshed out movie originally. And when they screened the rough cut for the studio was like, we thought we were buying a Steven Seagal movie. What the fuck is this? And so they went back into the editing room and the studio made them cut out like a bunch of stuff. And this was the result.
Did they use the credit card with the razor blade to cut all that shit out?
Maybe. But basically they were like, we want it to move faster. We want it to be more action heavy and all this other stuff. Like originally, Keenan Ivory Wayans was supposed to be living on a houseboat. And so like that big fight with like the explosion, stuff like that was supposed to be on the water, but they were like, ah, it's too expensive. Let's put it in like an LA apartment or like whatever.
Put it in a ravine.
Yeah, exactly. So you guys are absolutely right about this movie. Like it's a terrible movie, but because it's a terrible Steven Seagal movie, there's like a kitsch factor to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And after hearing about the dead boobs, like I have a whole new appreciation for this film.
They were magnificent. Yeah. All right. They were just
They're the dead Russian hooker boobs, which you absolutely
love. Oh, yeah. The Russian hooker. Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing for you.
He does love
Russian hookers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially dead ones.
You don't know.
but there are a lot of like really good kind of like set pieces in this movie. Like the biggest one of being like the assault on the Italian restaurant. Mm. And
that's a movie we need to make. Assault on the Italian restaurant.
That's one of my top 5 fight scenes, I think, of all time. That was so good.
Just slaps it's the so shit dis- out of everybody.
It's so fucking stupid.
The concierge with a fake Italian accent. Oh, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah,
he talks like Mark Wahlberg unless he's on the phone with somebody.
Say hello to your mother for me.
Yeah, and then you had like the Keenan Ivory Wayans fight in the apartment as all the fire is going on, and there's just a lot of stuff like going over that alleyway like through both windows.
$24 million budget had to go somewhere, man.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot to like about this movie, but you like it within the context of like a ridiculous Steven Seagal 90s film
for sure.
And you know, Seagal's up there with Van Damme in terms of like, it's a pleasure to watch how bad his movies are because we like him as a character.
Yeah.
Even though he's a terrible person. So I got to give this one, I'd say like, you know, 2 powdered deer penises out of 5.
Is the entire table in complete agreement
today?
Pretty
close.
Pretty close.
We're all on a point of each other.
Stunning.
You know
what this never happened.
You know what this movie needed?
What's up?
Just a random cameo from the Lesser Baldwin. In the cop room.
Yeah, he should have been like the chief or something.
Yeah, just a random detective.
Yeah.
Lesser Baldwin.
Somebody who gives Cindy Seagal
Crawford.
Shit.
I feel like this is like in the same universe as him and Cindy Crawford's movie.
What was that movie called?
For some reason.
The one with the ass on the train?
The best sex scene.
If the trains are rocking.
Yeah. It was called Fair Game.
Fair Game.
And it was based off of the novel that inspired Cobra.
Because they're both in L.A., both L.A. police. It was really wet in
Low
L.A.
budget.
In this movie. What was up with the weather in this thing?
Wait, was it raining?
It was raining all the time. And they're supposed to be in Los Angeles.
I mean, it's been raining here every day. This is the desert.
It's monsoon season, man. August, September. It rains all the time.
Yeah. I mean, if we just had Lester Baldwin's butt
somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yeah. He could have been, he could have been the one that was boinking his ex-wife.
Maybe.
That would have been good. And then he got shot in the head and hung on the wall.
And I would like to just mention one more thing.
Yeah.
The fashion in this show was amazing.
Oh my God, the shirts?
The shirts.
Yeah, you lost your mind.
And the suspenders on the dude at the end. I used to have a pair of suspenders like that, and they were the dumbest fucking thing.
I think you need another pair.
No, I hate this. I used to wear suspenders because I'm fat, and they actually held my pants up back in the day. But you know, now I can't do it. This movie gave suspenders a bad reputation.
Is this the one that did it? This puts the suspenders
to
bed.
No more suspenders.
The only people who can get away with suspenders is people in Guy Ritchie movies. If they're a British gangster with a wool suit and suspenders, you could pull it off.
Peaky fucking blinders.
Yeah, like a Peaky Blinders thing.
The belly shirt or the belly pants
with the suspenders. No, you can't do that. Dude. You got to be skinny. Yeah. Got to be.
But yeah.
Anyway.
Want to stop fight?
Yeah, let's go. Ready? We'll end it on that. All right, that's it, folks. Thanks for watching the show. Enjoy the last episode coming next week of Slonegall September?
Something.
What is it called?
Slap on the
Schwartzgall September.
Schwartz Lonegall.
Schwartz.
You know.
What's the next movie on our list this month?
It is the Expendables.
Expendables!
The first one. We're going to have some fun with that. Yeah. That's a good movie. Don't forget to go to discord.com. We're doing a watch party on Monday?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah probably.
90%. 90%. Depends on the
So way. This comes out on Friday, so Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So we got 3 days, guys. Mm-hmm. So after you see this video, 3 days, we're going to do a watch party for Expendables 1.
You'll know there's a watch party when you see a glimmer of the corner of your eye.
Yeah.
And then you pray to Buddha.
He'll be the nicest guy in the world, and then you'll just see a glimmer in his eye, and he'll kill you.
I need somebody to send me some. I want somebody to send me some Buddhist prayer beads.
I'm going to go next door to the freaking witch doctor and get some medicine for myself.
Yeah, you should.
All right. That's it, folks. Thank you so much. Comment below your favorite moment of this movie. If it's dead tits, you're in the right place.
The best part of this movie is the fight scene in the Italian restaurant. 100%.
Yeah.
And the dead boob.
They were pretty nice.
Dude,
that concierge at that restaurant was hilarious, though. Funny. It was so funny. No, I can get you a table. Oh, sorry, that's French.
Yeah, when he came walking in, I was like, that's the worst Italian accent I've ever heard. And then it turns out like it was supposed to be a bad Italian accent. Fake.
Perfect. The bread basket with the napkin thing.
Feels like
fucking died annoying. Laughing. It was so perfect. Funny. All right, folks. Stay salty.
Hey, asshole, what are you, blind? We're closed, okay?
You kind of talk too much. Yeah, go ahead. Come on, we'll give you a table.